Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to be together again. I'm glad you tuned in as we continue on in a teaching on the book of Nehemiah, learning some very valuable and important lessons in terms of how God wants us to respond to the burdens, the vision, the direction that He would have us take in our lives. And I'm not just speaking about long-term life vision or goals, but sometimes He'll ask us for a season to do something. He'll put something on our heart. It could be the simplest thing. It could be making a phone call. It could be doing something nice for a neighbor or for a member of your church family. It could be something quite small, but only the Lord knows the ramifications of it. And so we must never count what God speaks to our heart as something trivial or insignificant, because only God knows the effect that your obedience, your act of kindness, of love, of service, or even perhaps a word of exhortation. There could be, you know, spiritual concern. And whatever we give advice like that, it must be done in meekness and humility. But God knows. It's so important that we respond in obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see Nehemiah being so led by God to do an amazing thing. Yes, it's a historical book. Yes, we're not busy building physical walls, but we are called to build up the body of Christ. We are called to bring, as God spoke through Haggai, you know, go up to the high mountains and bring timber. Well, our response is, I preach that many times before, we're to get lively stones. We're to bring stones and make them part of God's temple, God's tabernacle that is not made with hands. So we, every one of us, have a vital, important purpose in the plan of God. And so, what do we see? Well, I read last broadcast what he did when he arrived. For 3 days, he was sort of doing reconnaissance, if you will. I read verses 11 through 16. And so what does he do on his arrival? He inspects the walls by night. He not only needed to be courageous, but cautious. He was very wise. He did not make any public announcement that I have come with the king's blessing. That might have stirred up further opposition than he was beginning to experience. He begins the work without ostentation. He doesn't make a big deal of it. He took an honest survey of the facts and began to make plans. He kept his work secret at the beginning because there were definitely enemies without, traitors within. And there were enemies that would perhaps, if he was not wise, waiting upon God for a plan of action, could undermine the very work that he was seeking to accomplish. So be advised that whenever you do attempt something for the Lord, the enemy, he is our avowed foe. He hates God and he hates God's people. He hates anything that will advance the kingdom of God. I did read it yesterday, but I'm going to read it again. Chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, of what was going on, that Nehemiah was being sent by the king to Jerusalem, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man, with the blessing of the king no less, to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. He's a type of Satan, if you will. So we're going to look at the attack of the enemy from without. Now, beloved, no matter what you do, you will always find Sanballats and Tobias everywhere to oppose what God wants to do. In your church situation, against your pastor, against whatever God might be speaking to your own heart, against perhaps a position of leadership to teach Sunday school or to deal with the youth, teach the youth. Whatever it might be, the enemy will try to rise up. I'm thinking now of a sister who writes, and she's on a worship team, and how the enemy is fighting there. Obviously, the enemy hates worship. He'll do anything to bring in discord and controversy and envy and jealousy and strife, every evil work, right? And so we have to look at the situation not with natural eyes. Well, it's sister so-and-so that's causing the problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There will be opposition. And so we have to decide what our plan of action is. Nehemiah, for 3 nights, surveyed the situation and decided on his method of procedure. So we should always, first of all, don't just jump in. Wait on the Lord. He did for 4 months. He was in prayer before he ever spoke to the king. So we have to wait on the Lord before we get any project. So often we want to jump in, get it done, yay, full steam ahead. And sometimes we create problems for ourselves by not waiting on God's direction. And so when the time for action had come, Nehemiah called the rulers together. Let me read for you chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Then said I unto them, these are the rulers, you see the distress that we are in. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then he lays out, this is what he's suggesting, and then he shares. He's told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He told of the miracle provision that God had supplied as a result of his prayers to God, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, that made them quite happy and excited. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Praise God. So the opposition of the enemy was immediate as the willingness of the people. There was ridicule, bitter feelings, and false accusations. Nehemiah was ridiculed. We see that in chapter 2, verse 19. Soon after, there was, so far, this is looking good, but in verse 19, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian, they got another friend to join them, they heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Verse 20, I've got to read that. Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." So what we see, he was ridiculed. And the local residents really opposed everything he was trying to do. In fact, that very name, Sanballat, means strong. So then the next attack of the enemy was wrath and contempt. Here we have to go to the fourth chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." There was wrath and there was contempt. Well, if that wasn't enough, but what did they do? Well, it was overcome by prayer and hard work. Let me read verses 4 and 6. Nehemiah prays, Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Why? Because obviously this was God's plan. So we built the wall. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Praise God. Hallelujah. He responded by prayer. Praise God. And then the next attack of the enemy was, it was overcome by prayer and hard work. And then we see in Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, verses 7-8, that Nehemiah responded by prayer and setting up a guard in verse 9. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, goodness sakes, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and then there was conspiracy. They, all of them, it began to grow, all of them conspired to come together and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Now he's praying with the workers and set and the elders and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Praise God. And so here we see prayer and watchfulness. Remember, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. When the enemy learned that ridicule had failed, they became more angry. They planned war. And by chapters 6 and 7, the enemy is desperate. So, beloved, one thing we ought to learn as I bring this broadcast to a conclusion, opposition does not necessarily mean God's disapproval. Satan, beloved, cannot afford to see the advancement of God's kingdom. And when we really start moving out for God, he will oppose with the most vicious and deadly assaults. So, well, we're going to be looking at the sixth way he attacks, but we're going to have to wait till next week. We'll see it's entirely different from the previous assaults. So I thank you for joining me, and as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs, whatever they may be. I will pray for you personally, and as I have so many letters of testimony, it was the word that God's people needed to hear, an answer to where they were at that time. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I suggest if you'd like a personal answer that you would include your mailing address, which is never shared, although I will always pray and will confirm receipt. I love you, pray for you every day, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.